On this Christmas Eve, let me just share with you a few words that stand out in my mind as I consider the beauty, the wonder of God incarnate. Incarnate means that God took on flesh. Of course, God is God and God is spirit. Christmas is about God taking on flesh, becoming a human being. And in becoming a human being, he did not stop being God. He became the God-man. 100% God and 100% human. Not 50-50, but 100-100. And as we read earlier, he was conceived and birth was given through a girl, a woman named Mary. I say woman, but it was really a girl. In that culture, it was not uncommon for a 12-year-old girl to be married. As soon as she was able to conceive, often marriages occurred. And so the Bible is not clear as to her age, but we suppose that she was anywhere from 12 to 15 years of age. And of course, we can't imagine that for ourselves, right? Our 12-year-old daughter, our 12-year-old niece or granddaughter being betrothed or pregnant. And that was the case with young Mary. At the birth of Jesus Christ, young Mary must have been certainly overwhelmed. Can you imagine? This young girl, now 9 months into the pregnancy. This young girl who just 9 months earlier was told by an angel, of all things, that she would be pregnant. And that she would be made pregnant by God himself, the Holy Spirit. And that in her womb she would be carrying the Messiah, the promised Savior, not only to Israel, but to the world. Now keep in mind that all of the Old Testament paints a picture of this Messiah. All of this Old Testament, all those years, hundreds of years of history, all pointed to this one person, Jesus Christ. And now this teenage girl is carrying this baby, this person, in her womb. You can imagine how overwhelming that would be. Of course, now she is recently married, adjusting to married life. And now we read that she has to venture all the way to Bethlehem, little Bethlehem. Bethlehem was not the town you really wanted to go back to. Today, it is a quaint name. We think of Bethlehem, oh, how nice, oh, how cute. But really, Bethlehem in that day and age was a small town, was a dirty town, a polluted town, and a town with high crime rates. And now Mary has to go back to Bethlehem with Joseph. That's where he's from, because the government had mandated that they go back while she's pregnant in order to be part of a Roman census. And while she's there in Bethlehem, she ends up giving birth. And of course, we know she gave birth among animals in the stable. How do we know that? Well, the baby was placed in a manger. A manger is a trough where animals eat from. And certainly it could have been just that, a stable, a barn. Or it could have been a cave. And that region was known for having these caves where shepherds would actually at night put their sheep in there in order to round them up and keep them safe. It could have been that. But more than likely, what it was a house where the downstairs was used to keep the animals. You see, you could not run off to the local deli to buy a quart of milk. You had to have your cow downstairs. Whatever you needed. You needed more cheese? Talk to the goat downstairs. And so it is very likely that what Mary and Joseph had to do was stay in somebody's house, but not in the living quarters, but rather in the barn quarters of that house, the downstairs part. It could be. We don't know, but we do know this. No woman here would want to have a child in a barn. It is certainly unsanitary. You can imagine the noises and the odors. And as she has given birth, suddenly knocking on the posts to that stable are some shepherds out of nowhere. And they explained that they were out on the field taking care of their sheep that night, and this angel appeared to them in the sky, and it was a brilliant light, and announced the birth of the Savior. And then suddenly around them appeared a host. The word host in the scriptures means an army of angels. And they sang with heavenly, truly heavenly voices. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on whom God's favor rests. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. In fact, they went on to tell Mary, look, they even told us where to go and what to look for and what we would find. And Mary, Joseph, here we are. Can you imagine how overwhelming that must have been for young Mary? In Luke chapter 2 and verse 18, we see that word got out among the people in the town, and the people now were wondering, they were amazed at what had been told to them, what had been said, and what these men had now experienced. But I want to point out one particular thing about this whole account. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, it reads this way. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. That means that what Mary was doing, keep in mind she's just a young teenage girl, right? What it means is that she accumulated all these events in her soul. She kept them close to her heart. She treasured them up. She preserved them. All these events. What the angel said to her. What Joseph said and how he reacted. What the shepherd said. The experience of the baby being born in the stable. All these things. She pondered them as well. She treasured them. And then she contemplated them. She threw all these events together and she considered them over and over and over again. She lined up all these events, one episode after the other, one leading to the other, attempting to make sense of what was going on in her life, attempting to grasp the wideness and the seriousness of the fact that she was now holding the creator of this world. What an impact that would have in her life. What an impact that would have in her country. What an impact that would have in the world. What an impact he continues to have in history. And she's contemplating all this. She's pondering all these things. She's treasured them in her heart, and now she's thinking about them again and again and again. She doesn't stop doing this. If you work your way over to Luke chapter 2, and verse 51, you see that it's mentioned again, that she continues to treasure these things in her heart. She continues to ponder them. Even years later, as young Jesus is growing up, she's continuing to do this again and again. She refuses to forget all these episodes that come together, bringing Christ into her arms, Christ into this world, and now a growing young man. Her conscience is often met with the circumstances. And she discusses these circumstances with herself. All these things that occurred. My friends, Mary did not forget. It's like when you fall in love. If you've been there, you know. You ponder her every word. You ponder her body language. You recall the details. You think about what was done. You think about what was said. You think about what should have been said. You think about how you could have done it better. You consider what is going to come of all this. You treasure those experiences. Well, how much so then for Mary, this young mother, this young bride, who is carrying in her arms Jesus Christ himself. The scriptures say that Mary treasured all this in her heart. and she pondered them. As a friend said to me, Mary did not leave all these things in church on Sunday. No, she took it with her. And she thought about it again and again and again. When she was in the kitchen, she thought about it. Before she closed her eyes to sleep, she was pondering these things. When she got up in the morning, what was her treasure? These episodes. She accumulated them. She considered them. She did not leave them behind in church. On a slightly different note, I read this week about a company in Houston, Texas, the Hilcor Energy Company, who for the seventh year in a row made it to the Fortune magazine's top 100 best companies to work for in the United States. This year, 2018, they ranked number 67 as the best company to work for in the U.S. of A. Why? Well, because in 2015, they gave each employee, no matter the employee's tenure, no matter the employee's position in a company, it didn't matter. Every employee was given a $100,000 check, Christmas bonus. Imagine that. A $100,000 Christmas bonus because they wanted to reward their employees for the good work that made the company so successful. They wanted to produce in their employees more loyalty and more longevity. So they gave them each $100,000. Certainly, every employee will want to go to work on Monday morning and say, I'm going to give my best to this company that just gave me $100,000. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make them proud of us again. That was in 2015. In 2011, every employee received a voucher for $50,000 to buy a new car. No matter how long you were there, no matter what kind of car you want, no matter what position, you get a $50,000 voucher. And if you didn't want to buy a new car, you could just take $35,000 in cash instead. Obviously, they were producing loyalty. This generosity is truly a true gift. But what about the original Christmas bonus? What about the original true gift? 2,000 plus years ago, God presented himself to all of us, to all of mankind, as the truest of all true gifts. A gift that far exceeds a voucher for a car. A gift that far exceeds 100,000 K. He left his place in glory. In fact, he abandoned all his glory. And he came to live for us, among us. And eventually, this true gift, Jesus Christ, died for us. In order that he would give to us, in order that he would offer to us the bonus of all bonuses, the opportunity to be right with God. And subsequently, even eternal life with God. He offers this equally to every person, no matter your tenure on this earth, no matter your status on this planet, no matter your rank, no matter your position, no matter your past, no matter your plans, he offers that same, if you will, Christmas bonus. Life, true life, abundant life, even life eternal. A gift like this ought to produce loyalty and perseverance. Would you agree? Certainly we should each want to give 100% of ourselves to the one who added so much life to our living, to the one who gives true life. The Apostle Paul summarizes the greatness of the gift of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, in just this one sentence. He says, thanks be to God for his inexplicable gift. It's beyond our imagination. It's beyond our ability to conceive what a wondrous gift it is that you can be right with God. And he calls on you. And that's what Christmas is all about, that we would be right with God. And he calls on you to come and be right with him. Mary treasured and pondered these realities. And I would call on you to do likewise. Treasure the truth of Christ. And do not leave those truths here tonight. Ponder them. Go and contemplate them. And don't find rest until you're resolved that you have peace with God.